Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and I'm going to ask your indulgence right off the bat because I've got a little bit of a cold, so I'm going to labor on in spite of that. This is, for the record, program number 391, discussion points and talking points for September 11th and related topics. This is being recorded on December 15th, excuse me, of 2002, and once again I will ask your indulgence because I'm laboring under the influence of a head cold, so... forgive the perhaps somewhat halting or attenuated verbal presentation. Now, before I get into the subject material itself, be aware that thanks to Spitfire and WFMU-FM, the entire For the Record series is available online for free. More recent programs are streaming on Real Audio at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. And there are long and from For the Record 233 on annotated article length descriptions of each For the Record program. Those are in the For the Record section of the Real Audio equipped Spitfire website at SpitfireList.com. Be aware that all of the Spitfire descriptions and all of the For the Record programs on Real Audio from WFMU are absolutely free. It ain't going to cost you a dime. It'll only cost you some time, as they say. Now, this program, For the Record 391, is going to be a little bit different from past broadcasts due to the enormous amount of material and the at least topically complex path of inquiry into the events in and around September 11th and related subjects. I thought that in order to, and I will admit the humor that is between the lines perhaps in what I'm about to, unintentional humor, what I'm about to say, I thought that I would do a program about discussion points for September 11th, talking points, in order to set forth some of the basic paths of inquiry and some of the points of connection between the admittedly complex and voluminous amount of material that has been presented about September 11th. By the way, the For the Record programs dealing with September 11th are program 325 and up, although there are other broadcasts that are relevant under the circumstances. Now, by way of beginning the talking points for September 11th, one could perhaps say that uniting all of these elements and the point of intersection between these temporally, geographically, and ethnically diverse elements, the common denominator is the Underground Reich, and the result of all of their cumulative efforts, not necessarily consciously in all cases, will be the F word. Fascism. Fascism in the United States and everywhere else as well. Now, for a lot of humanity, it's going to mean annihilation. For the rest, fascism under the domination of the Underground Reich. And that includes, by the way, the United States, because the Underground Reich, as I have put it in the past, sort of a virtual state, a Third Reich gone underground and dispersed geographically, but united by ideology, very powerful economic power, and also by the clandestine intelligence network that has been put together in the post-war period by the SS and the residua of the Gestapo, in turn incorporated into the intelligence services of many countries, including and especially the United States and Germany. Now, just as a magician or a sleight-of-hand artist waves a magic wand to distract the audience while the trick is performed, while the rabbit is pulled out of the hat, ostensibly, so the very diversity, again, the temporal, geographical, and ethnic diversity of the players on this particular stage works to mask the nature of the forces that are at work through them. And again, in this program, I'm working to distill the central elements of information and to present them in what at least hopefully will be a straightforward and enlightening conceptual context. Now, a good place to begin from a conceptual and also a legal slash investigative point could be said to be the, not could be, but is the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. Those raids were discussed in, among other programs, For the Record 353, 356, 7, 8, and 9, For the Record 382, 387, 389, and 390. Now, acting on information that was unearthed by the research for a lawsuit by the very heroic John Loftus, the author of, among other books, The Belarus Secret, and with Mark Aaron's Unholy Trinity and The Secret War Against the Jews, John Loftus, a former Justice Department investigator and professional military officer, with, by the way, a very high security clearance, Loftus has acted as the counsel for a bunch of whistleblowers and retired intelligence operatives from the U.S., British, former Soviet, and Israeli intelligence services, and has provided not only a wealth of information for public consumption, but in particular, John Loftus was in charge with investigating Nazi war criminals who were brought over into our intelligence system at the end of World War II. He uncovered links, very profound links, between the wholesale importation of those operatives and the people who were at that time in Washington, D.C., namely the Reagan-Bush administration. Now, this lawsuit by John Loftus against a former professor at South Florida University unearthed a lot of information which, when given to agents of the Treasury Department, led to a series of raids, again on March 20th of 2002. Those raids were directed against a series of overlapping institutions and individuals and institutions with complex interrelated capital workings, with often the identical addresses or closely juxtaposed addresses, either next door or across the street from one another, and individuals who had professional associations with one another. These institutions and individuals are connected to, among other things, according to the information presented in the investigation, the Al-Qaeda milieu, the petroleum business milieu of George W. Bush and Saudi Arabia, to the Islamo-fascist Al-Taqwa milieu, and we're going to talk more about Al-Taqwa later on, to the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization, and we're going to talk about its history later on, and also to the pivotal GOP operative Grover Norquist, the head of an organization called Americans for Tax Reform. Now, for more about Norquist, the Republicans, and the Al-Taqwa Al-Qaeda milieu, see For the Record programs 356, 7, 8, and 9. One of the interesting things about the Operation Green Quest raids, and again, those were on March 20th of 2002, conducted under the auspices of the Treasury Department, is that Talat Otman, a personal friend and political ally and business associate of the Bush family, Talat Otman gave a Muslim benediction at the Republican convention in 2000. Talat Otman was also a director of Harkin Energy, George W.'s, one of his failed oil companies. Talat Otman interceded on April 4th of this year with Treasury Secretary O'Neill on behalf of the Operation Green Quest targets. Talat Otman himself sat on the boards of directors of some of the institutions that were either targeted or on the boards of directors of institutions overlapping those who were targeted. It's also worth noting that Talat Otman himself has interesting connections to the BCCI milieu, as we spoke about in a number of broadcasts. Talat Otman, by the way, and his intercession on behalf of the targets of Green Quest is discussed at considerable length in For the Record 356, also in For the Record 368 and 376. It's worth noting that just over 8 months after Talat Otman interceded with Paul O'Neill, Paul O'Neill was out as Treasury Secretary, and we're going to speculate about the possible relationship involved in the political plate tectonics, as I spoke about it in For the Record 390 later in the program. Now, something else that's worth noting with regard to the Operation Green Quest raids, and this is central, is that when one focuses on these raids and the individuals and institutions targeted, and then, so to speak, the camera begins to dolly out. It reveals, in the widening picture frame, critical junctions which connect to and embody the powerful and semi-clandestine forces of the underground Reich in its various manifestations. Now, the foundation of the economic and political dynamic that manifested itself through the September 11th attacks and that was revealed in the Green Quest raids is the same multinational financial axis that led to the capitalization not only of Adolf Hitler and but the post-war perpetuation of the Underground Reich and the remarkable and deadly Bormann Organization. For some of the background information on the Bormann Organization, for the record, 273, 283, and 305, available as audio files from WFMU. Long printed article length descriptions available from Spitfire on the for the record section of SpitfireList.com. All of that material again for free. By the way, these same forces were involved with the creation of what is perhaps the ultimate oxymoron, modern Saudi Arabia. Now, the business and political relationships of the Bush family are inextricably linked with the multinational financial axis that led to the capitalization of Hitler and to the post-war perpetuation of the Underground Reich and the Bormann Group. W's progenitors were among the most important of Adolf Hitler's financial backers, his great-grandfather George Herbert Walker, along with Henry Ford, and Walker's business partner, the Thiessen family, were the three earliest significant financial backers of Adolf Hitler. Prescott Bush Sr., W's grandfather and the son-in-law of George Herbert Walker, was also involved with this series of corporate fronts, and very significantly, Prescott Bush Sr., was involved with the Thiessen-Bornemisza financial engine that lies at the foundation, that sort of underlies the Thiessen, now the Thiessen-Krupp, heavy industrial firm. The investments that were made in Nazi Germany and the post-war sort of money-go-round and the post-war legal machinations were handled by the Sullivan and Cromwell partner Alan Dulles, who then went on to become a key officer with the OSS, the U.S. Wartime Intelligence Service. And Alan Dulles, again, helped to set up the holding companies to mask George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush Sr.'s involvement with the Union Banking Corporation Thiessen axis. Then Alan Dulles was heavily involved with the post-war sort of Nazi money-go-round, and Alan Dulles helped to supervise the financial triumvirate of the Union Banking Corporation, the August Thiessen Bank in Berlin, and the Bank for Handel und Scheepvaart in the Netherlands. And this threefold or tripartite financial axis was the major pivot point for the capital that went to revive the Thiessen operation in the post-war period. Prescott Bush, by the way, Prescott Bush Sr., the grandfather of George W., the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, was deeply involved in this three-way sort of post-war Nazi money-go-round. Interestingly enough, the manager of the Bank for Handel und Scheepvaart, who went to New York to complain to Prescott Bush, who was a director of the Union Banking Corporation, about this post-war perpetuation of Nazi financial power, he died under ambiguous circumstances. He was in very good health and then was found dead of an apparent heart attack in 1947. And a Dutch investigative reporter who was pursuing this same link, also in very good health in 1996, also turned up dead of an apparent heart attack. It should be noted that the post-war liquidation of the Union Banking Corporation, this joint Bush family Thiessen operation on behalf of the Third Reich, with its corporate assets effectively masked by Alan Dulles. When the Union Banking Corporation was liquidated in 1951, it provided the economic basis for much of the Bush family's subsequent economic success. Now, with regard to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia has been in the news a lot lately, not necessarily in the context it should be in, but Saudi Arabia was created and realized by these very same elements. One of the key names, again, Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles of Sullivan and Cromwell, along with Axis spy Jack Filby, and Filby's protege, King Ibn Saud, who was a Nazi sympathizer. Those three men, Alan Dulles, Ibn Saud, and Jack Filby, were central to the creation of Saudi Arabia and the successful perpetuation of the House of Saud. This is discussed, by the way, and for the record, 332 and 361, among other shows. Now, Mohammed bin Laden, who was the father of Osama bin Laden, founded the Saudi bin Laden Group, the construction firm that's at the heart of the powerful bin Laden economic empire, in 1931, a year before the formal creation of Saudi Arabia itself. That's discussed, by the way, in, among other programs, for the record, 369. To this day, Sullivan and Cromwell, the old Dulles law firm, is the legal counsel for Saudi bin Laden Group. That discussed in, among other programs, for the record, 367. It's also interesting, particularly interesting in light of the recent departure of Paul O'Neill, that Sullivan and Cromwell also headed up a consortium of financial institutions that sought to weaken the provisions that were instituted by the Treasury Department, as well as the recently departed Paul O'Neill, to stem the tide of money laundering. And again, note that Mohammed bin Laden is the father of Osama bin Laden. Now, more about the connecting points and the areas of overlap between the forces involved here. Joining or connecting the American forces involved in the financing of Hitler to the overlapping milieu of Eurofascism and Islamofascism is the Lugano, Switzerland-based Al-Taqwa organization, about which we've spoken so many times in the past. That bank is headed up by the Egyptian-born Abwehr agent, Youssef Nada. The Abwehr was German military intelligence in World War II. And the bank Al-Taqwa, that was later renamed Nada Management, engaged a Swiss Nazi-turned-Islamist named Ahmed Huber as a director. We've spoken about Bank Al-Taqwa in, among other programs, 343, and we've spoken about Huber in 335, 343, 352, 354, and many other programs as well. Now, Huber was a protege of Johann von Leers, who also later converted to Islam and changed his name to Omar Amin von Leers, but Johann von Leers, again, whose disciple, so to speak, Huber was, Johann von Leers was in charge of anti-Semitic propaganda for Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry, and then served in a similar capacity for former Egyptian President Nasser. He was in charge of the Institute for the Study of Zionism. The Huber-von Leers link can be read about in For the Record 354, or examined in For the Record 354, 371, 377, and 378. Interestingly, the bin Laden family was involved in the financing of Al-Taqwa, and again, according to the Treasury Department, Al-Taqwa involved in the September 11th events, both before and after September 11th itself. Now, Al-Taqwa is in a very interesting place. It is in Lugano, Switzerland, and the geographical base of Al-Taqwa and the very closely related Banca del Gottardo is, again, in Lugano, Switzerland. Now, Lugano, Switzerland, a funny money center across the Italian border into Switzerland, has long been the geographical epicenter of the Thyssen-Bornemisza operations that were realized by, among others, the Bush-Dulles axis. The Thyssen heavy industrial firm is controlled largely by the Thyssen-Bornemisza faction, and indeed it was to make the ownership of the Thyssen steel firm, formerly Vereinigte Stahlwerke, not only obscure, but legally acceptable in terms of war reparations, that Heinrich Thyssen-Bornemisza, the first Heinrich Thyssen-Bornemisza, moved to Lugano, Switzerland. That has, from the post-World War I period on, been the epicenter for the Thyssen-Bornemisza operations, which in turn are the epicenter of the Thyssen-Krupp heavy industrial firm, and it is the Thiessen firm and the related financial institutions, UBC, the Bank for Handel und Schifffahrt, and the August Thiessen Bank in Berlin that represented the money go-round, first of all, to finance the Thiessen firm in the first place, and then to aid in its post-war resurrection. That, again, in combination with Alan Dulles. Now, at the Lugano pivot point, so to speak, of Altaqua Banco del Gottardo, we find some very significant points of overlap with the Italian fascist milieu of the P2 Lodge, headed up by Licio Gelli, and also the Alleanza Nazionale, the successor to Mussolini's fascist party. By the way, the Alleanza Nazionale is the coalition partner with Silvio Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy, Berlusconi himself a former member of the P2. Now, this, again, is a very significant relationship because when we're talking about Muslim fundamentalists, this is not a group that you would expect to see inextricably linked with Italian fascists and arch-reactionaries, one of whose tenets of political currency, so to speak, or ideological currency, is to market anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant sentiment in order to help drive the electorate to the right. But, and this is one of the key elements here, in order to understand the term Islamofascism and how Islamofascism and Eurofascism intersect, and how in turn Islamofascism, Eurofascism, and domestic American fascism all meet and merge and coalesce in the medium of the underground Reich, the P2 Alleanza Nazionale connections are central. Now again, this is to Muslim fundamentalists, ostensibly at least. Among the shareholders in the bank Altaqua was a guy named Alessandro Ghe, who is, that's spelled G-H-E, is associated with the Italian fascist group Ordine Nuovo. The founder of Ordine Nuovo, a Mussolini veteran named Pino Rauti, was in turn part of the electoral coalition that elected Silvio Berlusconi. Ordine Nuovo was also heavily involved in the strategy of tension. Now, Youssef Nada, again, the former Abwehr, the Egyptian-born former Abwehr agent and Muslim Brotherhood member, the head of Bank Altaqua, Nada's attorney, Perfelici Barchi, is closely connected to the milieu of the Banco del Gottardo, the Swiss subsidiary of the Banco Ambrosiano, also connected to the P2 Lodge. And again, we've spoken about Banco Ambrosiano in numerous programs. We talked about the connection between Banco del Gottardo and the Banco Ambrosiano in, for the record, 387. Now, Pierfelici Barchi, who's closely connected, he's Youssef Nada's attorney, he is closely connected to the milieu of the Banco del Gottardo, and he also handles the Swiss economic and legal business for Italian Prime Minister and former P2 Lodge member Silvio Berlusconi. A guy named Gustavo Selva, who is an actual seated deputy in the Italian Parliament of the Alleanza Nazionale, which again is the successor to Mussolini's fascist party, and a member of the Berlusconi coalition government, is associated with Ahmed Idris Nasreddin and Ali Galeb Himat, two of the founders, along with Youssef Nada and Ahmed Huber, of Altaqua. Now, the head of the Alleanza Nazionale, Gianfranco Fini, was at a conference in the spring of 2002 with a number of European far-right leaders at Mont Pelerin in Switzerland, and in addition to Gianfranco Fini, one of the other people in attendance was Ahmed Huber, again, a director of Bank Altaqua and a protege of, among others, Johann von Leers. Another interesting P2 Alleanza Nazionale Italian fascist connection is the association between business associates of Altaqua co-founder Ahmed Idris Nasreddin and a guy named Ercole Doninelli, who was closely associated with something called FIMO, F-I-M-O, which is a now bankrupt company that helped to capitalize Silvio Berlusconi's early investments in the construction industry. And again, one of the things that's so interesting about this is that Altaqua and the Islamo-fascist milieu that it's central to are ostensibly Muslim fundamentalists. They actually are what I would call Islamo-fascists. They are using Islam as a political vehicle for the manifestation of fascism, and their actual views are at considerable variance with non-Sunni traditional Islam. One of the fascinating things about this Italian fascist P2 Alleanza Nazionale Al-Taqwa connection is that, again, we're seeing a political synthesis of European and Italian fascists, one of whose central elements of political currency is anti-Muslim / anti-immigrant sentiment, with the very type of people that they supposedly are opposed to. Now, linking the world of Islamo-fascism to the world of Euro-fascism, Al-Taqwa is also at another level of analysis linked with the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been said by many to be the progenitor of all modern Islamic militant groups and a political and ideological ally of both Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. The Muslim Brotherhood's ideology, as we saw in For the Record 343, and revisited again in 354, 59, 369, 377, and 381, the ideology of the Islamic, the Muslim Brotherhood, rather, fuses the concept of a theocratic Islamic totalitarianism with the corporatist economic philosophy of Mussolini. And central to an understanding of how such an alliance could take place, an alliance between the Axis powers and elements of the Arab and Muslim world, it's important to understand that much of that part of the world was under British and French colonial domination between the wars, and that other parts of that world were part of the Soviet Union, and the Axis sought to gain control of the Middle East and to break up the Soviet Union. And central to the understanding of these politics are what is called geopolitics and the concept of the Earth Island. From the Straits of Gibraltar all the way across Europe, the former Soviet Union, the Middle East, and Asia is one giant landmass. The Nazi geopoliticians called that giant contiguous landmass the Earth Island. It contains most of the world's landmass, most of the world's population, and most importantly, most of the world's oil resources. Across the middle of it is a big stretch of Muslim population, so the Third Reich and to a lesser extent fascist Italy sought an alliance with that Muslim population, which they saw as the key to world domination. Now, I've made reference to other broadcasts, not only the For the Record broadcast, but lectures that I've done, the archive shows, both the RFAs, the miscellaneous archive shows, and the Guns of November about the assassination of President Kennedy. Those are all available from Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Their website is spitfirelist.com, and in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there are detailed descriptions of the various programs annotated from For the Record 233 on. There are also links in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website to two websites maintained by sister station WFM-UFM in Jersey City, New Jersey, that have the entire For the Record series, or to date anyway, online. More recent programs streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery. Older For the Record programs are available for download only on Real Audio at a longer URL linked to both the SpitfireList.com section and the For the Record section of same, and to the WFMU.org/Dave Emery website. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 391, Talking Points for September 11th and related topics. This is being recorded on December 15th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.